Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Track Podcast. I'm Livek Pone, joined with Ashley Titians, as always. And literally right over my shoulder, we have Corey Mall joining us as the chat guy. So the squad is here.
The squad is here.
Yeah, if you got any questions on the chat, just hit us up and I'll give it over here to the ladies.
Awesome. Wow. I feel like I say this every podcast. What an exciting weekend. We have a lot to unfold. We have a very special guest who is the fourth fastest man in the country right now in the mile. We're going to recap the Millrose games because Ashley and I were there in person in the Big Apple. And then we're going to also take a closer look at the USA Indoor Championships, which will take place this weekend in New Mexico. So super exciting things to go about for the show. But Ashley, who do we have joining us today?
Again, like you've mentioned, we have a very big special guest today. We have Colin Solomon of NAU, who has been just an absolute stud for the Lumberjacks this indoor season already. He's currently ranked among the top athletes in the NCAA in the mile behind his 3:53.17 winning performance at the BU John Thomas Chariot Classic a few weeks ago. He's also shown off some incredible range, 147 in the 800, 748 for 3K as well so far this indoor season. Colin, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
All right. Obviously, it's been quite the indoor season for you so far. You know, how have you been feeling about this indoor season so far and how it's gone for you?
I'm really happy with this indoor season. I mean, it's definitely a lot better than last year. Last year, I had a lot of bumps in the roads, a lot of like injury sickness, but it's just been a super huge, consistent, like just training block. And consistency just leads to great results because, I mean, you don't have much interruption, so you have a lot to build off of. And I'm just super happy with the results and just been focusing on competing and just having a good time.
I love that. Consistency leads to great results. I need to like frame that quote somewhere. That's really awesome. And I feel like that kind of just speaks to the team that you're running with, especially with the Lumberjacks over the last several years in cross country and even the distance events. You guys have really been putting y'all's name out there. What do you think has been the key to NAU's success over the last several years, and especially since you've been a part of this team for some time?
From what I've seen, being here for like a year and a half now, yeah, we don't really focus on results, really. We don't focus on outcomes. We focus on like the process to get there and competing within the race, because anyone can like picture like, oh, like we want to win a national championship. Like, of course, yeah, that's what we want to do, but that's not what we talk about. We talk about like what we're going to do like inside the race. Like, for example, like in cross country nationals, like we'll talk about like, what are we going to do when it gets hard? Just like stick on a group and just like stay with them, or just like pretty much just find a teammate and just grind with them for like the next 3-4K or so. And it's really about like making a good race plan and competing within the race that will lead to those results. And I think that's what we live by, and we just are more of a process-based program instead of like outcome focused. So
I actually want to follow up a little bit on what you said in that first question that we had, where you're talking about, you know, over this past year and a half you've been dealing with, you know, injuries and stuff like that, and finally you feel like you're finding some consistency, especially for someone like you. You know, as we all know, we work with Mile Split too. Like, you were you know, at the top of your game, you know, toward the end there in high school, you know, setting records and everything like that. Do you feel like there was some sort of pressure then going into NAU and trying to immediately go out there and, you know, find those results that you wanted and then having those hiccups? Like, how did you kind of balance that to now where you where you're at now and, you know, being very successful?
Yeah, I'd say last year I definitely gave in to like a lot of that pressure, like that outside noise, and was just like, because I was like this really good high schooler, so I was like expected to do really big things like right away in college. And I found that that wasn't really the case. Like, yeah, I had like some pretty good races, but it wasn't necessarily like the expectations of what other people were like saying I could do. And then, you know, there were people out there saying like, oh, he's not as good, or like he won't like do this. And I kind of gave into that a little bit last year, but this year was like just a huge focus on just like blocking out all that noise. Like, I have learned just to not care at all about what people say and just really focus on what I'm doing, like with my team and what I'm doing in training and like what we talk about. And I think blocking out all like that outside noise has just been so perfect this season, because I'm just focusing on me and what I want to do on the track, and who cares what people say, because I'm having a great season. So
I love it.
The haters can hate, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
You know, as you said, you know, and we mentioned too, like you've already done, you've shown off some range this season. I mean, you've gone 147 in the 8, 353 in the mile, 740 in the 3K. You've also gone 48.99 in the 400. So like, you know, you're developing that range. And so I'm curious, like, what's training been like for you to kind of be able to tap into all that and kind of fluctuate between the different distances?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I have a lot of like natural speed, so we don't really tap into speed as much. We've mostly been focusing on like strength based, like a lot of threshold workouts, and just trying to get my strength up. I think that really helped with my 3K, a 7:48. I still think I have a little more room to go because I was kind of hurt and falling off a little bit at the end. But it's just been fun. Like, just we tap into like a little bit of speed. Like, maybe we'll do like 200s at the end of a workout or something just to just hit it. But we don't really do too much like just speed workout. And I think it's just fun just to, I think the speed workouts for me were like the 400s up here in the dome, like just racing them. It's just fun and just racing against sprinters and just seeing what I can do. And I mean, it's just, I just think I have a lot of natural speed and it's fun to just play with that sometimes.
Yeah. Let's take a closer look at that. Your mile performances over this indoor season, 410 in mid-January, 403 a week later, and then you drop a 353. And I just remember you crossing the finish line, putting number one up in the air. Can you talk to us and walk us through how you felt during that race and just how you've been progressing, how that just has been clicking for you over the last several weeks?
Yeah, I didn't really have any expectations going into that race. I didn't even look at the field. I remember walking out on the start line being like, oh shoot, am I the only college guy in here? But and then I saw one BYU guy out there and I was just like, all right, I didn't even look at the field. I was just excited to race and just try and beat as many people as possible, and ended up coming away with the win. I definitely made a few tactical errors in there. Just looking back, just I should have been like sticking on people more, but it's definitely a good learning experience. And just I actually felt really good with about two laps to go, and I decided to just like to make a move on that and try and get up there, and then ended up catching the leader. And then I just remember being like so excited winning the race. I just like threw up a celebration. I was like, holy crap, like I just did that. And it was just a really fun race, and because I had no idea where I was at, and then to see the clock say 3:53, I was like, this is an amazing PR, and I'm really happy where I am right now.
Now I want you to compare that to running 403 at like 7,000 feet of elevation. How did those different ones feel? Because obviously you'd get the conversion down. I believe it was like 357 or something, 403 at 7,000 feet. But like, you know, compare the two performances from like, you know, the 353 that you ran at sea level and then having to, you know, running that race at altitude as well.
Yeah, altitude, it's definitely a different beast for sure. It it hurts like almost immediately, like within the first 400, and you just have to trust that you can hold that. And it's, oh, I don't know. It's just running once you run a mile at altitude, like you'll know what I'm talking about. It's just, it hurts right off the bat, and it's just a grind to get through the whole thing. And at sea level, I mean, sometimes you'll just feel great, feel better, but altitude, oh man, that that hurts. But it's definitely good because it once you know that feeling of hurting early, like, you know, you can keep that. And it's really nice to have that feeling, knowing that feeling at sea level, knowing that you can just keep the grind going.
Colin, I want to follow up on something you just said about tactics. You said you made a mistake in a previous race. What have you learned about tactics since you have arrived in college and kind of learned the process of what racing is about at this level?
Yeah, I would say, like, especially for like championship style races, like to get out more towards like the middle or like the middle front of the race, instead of like getting stuck in the back or like fighting to get boxed in. You like to have a lot of open track, I'd say, so you can make more moves, and also just sticking on the person right in front of you. That's something that that's like the error I was talking about in this race, was like, sometimes I'd let like a little gap and then someone would sneak in and then I'd get pushed back one more. So I'm still learning. I'm still working on that, but yeah, just pretty much focusing on just like trying to stick right on the person in front of me, and then just focusing on how the race is being run, and how I can move and how I can close based off how the race is being run. So it's a lot of thinking in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of learning, everyone knows you graduated from Newbury Park. I feel like everyone is just like super excited about that. And just, we were able to watch Newbury Park evolve into this historic team, and you happen to be a part of it as well. What has been the biggest lesson that you learned as a high school runner in California?
I'm not really sure. I feel like back then I knew what I was doing, but not like, I feel like I've learned a lot more here.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing I learned in high school was just like not to put like limits on yourself. I think that's a really big thing that Coach Brosnan taught us, is just like, don't put limits on yourself. Just go out there and just like see what you can do. Like if people like, don't say like, don't put a barrier at 4 minutes in the mile, like see how far you can break past that. And I think that's the biggest thing I learned in high school. And then coming into college, it's just like even more, just like see how far you can break past it and just see how consistent you can be. And it's just been, yeah, I feel like I've learned a lot the past 2 years here for sure.
Now, speaking of Newbury Park, you're also not the only Salmon on the NAU team. Talk a little bit about, you know, having your brother Aaron there too as well, and having him join the team as well.
Yeah, it's super fun having him. Like, yeah, we're having a blast. He's doing really well in training right now. You know, we're training together, we run together. It's really fun to have him here. You know, he's in the dorms right now. He's got to do his time there. so sometimes like, yeah, we'll go hang out with the guys there and just like, you know, visit them in the dorms or like go to the dining hall with them. But yeah, it's just really fun to have him on the team and just, you know, keep each other accountable, keep each other motivated. And, you know, we're always there for each other. So it's good to have him right there.
Mm-hmm. I feel like a team that trains together also recovers together. So speaking of recovery, I know you're an ambassador for Firefly, and they're one of our partners as well. And we just love their technology that they offer. Can you tell us more about Firefly and how it's helped you with your post-recovery after a really hard training session or even after a big meet?
Yeah, I mean, I love to use Firefly, especially after races or like when we have to travel. Like, because like when I went to Boston, it's like almost a 5-hour flight. So it's good to just like after the race, just like literally on the plane, just sit there and watch a movie and just like, just strap them onto your leg. Like it's just such a small, like easy device that you can just like pretty much fit in like your pocket or your backpack. So it's really nice just to have it while traveling. I'd say, I think travel, I use them the most, and I just like, I'll have them on the plane watching a movie. Just like my feet are fluttering and blood flow is increasing by 400%. So yeah, it's really, I really love the product, and I think it definitely helps me recover after races. And even before races, I'll even throw them on like on the plane to the race. So
awesome.
I know we've tried out Firefly, and I sat around the office just letting them run for hours. It's definitely an interesting product. So very cool. You know, speaking of, you know, we're in February right now, obviously. You know, we're kind of approaching indoor championships in a couple weeks, and just all around American distance running has especially been, I feel like, on a pedestal, right? We've seen so many great performances. For example, I mean, at Milrose Games this weekend, we saw a bunch of American records go down. Have you been paying attention to, I guess, maybe just the state of American distance running, where it is right now, and like how, maybe like how you hope to someday, you know, be a part of that as well?
Yeah, I mean, our sport's definitely picking up right now. I'd say even more so than like the last few years. Like, people are just running insane times. And I mean, I think right now to get into like the top 16 for the mile in the NCAA is like 3:54. Like, that's the fastest it's ever been. And you have to learn to grow with the sport and what it's doing right now. But I think right now, like, a lot of people can run fast times and a lot of people can time trial. But I think when it comes down to it, like, half those people don't really know how to championship style race. So I think that's what we like to do. That's what we like to focus on here at NAU is, like, yeah, like, we like to run fast, but we also like to focus on competing and to win instead of just running fast. Like, anyone can run in a line, but it's like, how can you move up? How can you make moves? How can you actually race is, mm-hmm. I think is the most important part. I think that's what you have to learn to grow in this sport and focus on these championship style races.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of championships, I feel like Colin's just like pitching me to the next question. You've been doing a great job of that. So what are your goals as we kind of approach the Big Sky Conference Championships, which will be next week for y'all, and also the NCAA Indoor Championships in about a month?
Yeah, the Big Sky Championships, that's a really important meet for us. We like to run as many people as we can there. It's just the pure sport of competing. Like, we have a lot of, I mean, like, being a part of NAU, like, we're in the Big Sky, we're like supposed to be like number one, like the top team. But that also puts a lot of pressure because all these other teams like Montana State, like, they are super tough. Like, they have nothing to lose. They'll just come after us with like all they have. And it just keeps us humble and keeps us really focused on the core of just competing in the race and just like, don't underestimate anybody and just go out there and race. And I think that's a huge, really good practice for something like the NCAA meet, like the indoor national meet, just focusing on racing and just beating bodies.
Now, before we hand this off to Corey with some chat questions, we have one final question for you. Very tough question. We ask all of our guests a variation of this question. Obviously, you know, being a distance guy, you run cross country, indoor and outdoor. Which of those seasons is your favorite and why?
Ooh, I'd say probably, just from over the years, I think outdoor has been my favorite. I just love just like 400 meter track. I don't know. I just love touching miles or like 1500s on the outdoor track. I think I love the 1500. It's my favorite event. So I don't know. Something about outdoor, especially at night, outdoor races are really fun.
Love it. All right, Corey, what's popping off in the chat?
All right, we have a few questions, Colin, here for you. I think you kind of alluded to what your goals are this season, but All in the Game asks, what are your plans for the Olympic trials? The 1500 meter standard is 337, I believe. I mean, are you going to go after an A standard, and what's your plans for the trials?
Yeah, we haven't really talked about that too much. We were just really focusing on like in the moment right now, but I think it's definitely something to consider. Like, I would love to go like sub 336, like 335, 334 if I can. I really want to focus on that event. And the main focus would be, I think, NCAA's outdoor. But if I'm in a really good spot, I would definitely love to do the trials for sure.
All right. One more question from Thomas Anderson. Is Mike Smith as cool and zen in person as it seems he is?
Yeah, I'd say even more so. He's just like a super, super cool guy, super laid back, chill guy. And it's just like, yeah, he's a really funny coach. He gets along with everybody, but definitely don't piss him off. So that's what I've learned. Yeah, I mean, workouts, like if you're not doing what he wants you to, yeah, you're. But yeah, he's a really cool guy. I love him as a coach. He's definitely helped me grow as an athlete and as a person. So he's probably, well, he's in my opinion, the best coach out there.
Love it. Corey, do we have any other questions in the chat?
I mean, you already asked about Aaron. I'm curious, didn't your brother just cut his hair too? Who cuts hair at NAU?
Yeah, we have a guy on the team, Aiden Barnhill, Barney Blends. He likes to cut everybody on the team's hair. Like, well, he says like he'll do it for free, but we usually give him like 15, 20 bucks just because he's just like the team barber. And I don't know, Aaron went up to him. He's like, I want to shave my head. I was like, oh geez. I was like, this is a bad idea, but all right, Aaron, you do you. But yeah, he even cut my hair. This is Barney Blends, so he's he's really good. He's getting a lot better, and if you're ever in Flagstaff, you know, you can always DM him and he'll blend you up. So
there you go.
Good to know. Good to know.
Awesome. Well, Colin, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate seeing you, and we can't wait to see what the rest of this indoor and outdoor season looks for you. So best wishes to you. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thanks. All right. Before we move on to the show, we unfortunately had really heartbreaking news as we were wrapping up Millrose Games. I know you and I were literally packing our bags up to grab some dinner, and we had the unfortunate news to hear that Kelvin Kiptum has passed away in a car accident along with his coach. And so, Ashley, I know you had a chance to just watch him compete in person. And so just how are you feeling as a whole?
Yeah, I know we wanted to take a few moments to just express just our thoughts on obviously the heartbreaking news. Kelvin Kiptum, the world marathon record holder, he set that back in Chicago, 2 hours, 35 seconds. I mean, I had the privilege of seeing him race that in person. You know, I was there in Chicago covering that event. And I mean, just when you see something like that by far is like the most, you know, the greatest athletic feat I've ever been able to see in person. And to now have something like that, you know, someone just after breaking that, you know, just someone passed so tragically like that. Like it's just shocking, you know, and such a shame. And, you know, he was only 24 years old. Yeah. I'm 23. So it's like, shoot, he's only a year older than me. I think it just puts a whole perspective, you know, life is precious. And it's just, it's very unfortunate because I think there were so many, even though he accomplished so much in the few races that he did do, like there was so much more that I think he was wanting to, you know, to accomplish in athletics and just in life in general. So, yeah.
And I think he had a lot of support too. I know just looking at the comments from social media, everyone obviously in shock, but they were like, wow, I feel like he was just taking those steps into truly seeing his true potential in the sport. And again, so young, has so much life left to live. So it was definitely very heartbreaking. Corey, is there anything you would like to add as well?
Yeah, just second all your thoughts. Mm-hmm. I'm reading that the funeral is set for February 24th in Northwest Kenya. So they'll lay him to rest in his country. And obviously, I think those around him, the community, family, friends are going to mourn him and give tribute to him at that time. So really, really heartbreaking story.
Yes. So all of our prayers and best wishes are going out to Kelvin Kiptum's family and those that are also impacted by this as well. So moving forward now, let's talk about Millrose, because I felt like that did not disappoint whatsoever. We saw two world records fall. Let's talk about Josh Kerr, because he completely smashed the indoor 2-mile record, which was, I believe, set by Mo Farah going into the indoor season. So Ashley, you had a front row seat to the world record. And again, we talked about this last week. We're like, every time Ashley's at an event,
That's true.
You witness world records. So
yeah, what is this now? Am I up to like 5 world records I've seen in person in the past like
year?
5 months or something like that?
Oh gosh, that's insane to even think about.
But yeah, let's talk about that 2-mile world record, you know, going into Millrose. About a month ago, Josh Kerr, he like shot his shot. You know, he was like, you know what, guys, I'm going to go for this 2-mile world record. You know, that's definitely a big, bold move to come out and say that. And, you know, I feel like as we've seen from Josh Kerr, he kind of backs up the talk, you know, and this is just another instance where he backed up the talk. So he goes 8:67 to in that race to break the world record. I mean, it was just a marvelous race to watch. You know, they were kind of going out in some 61s there, mm-hmm. but then toward the end, he started crushing out some 59s, you know, getting back on that world record pace. And I mean, you could just tell that he wanted this, right? Like the way he was able to, he and Grant Fisher had been running together for quite some time for the majority of this race. Mm-hmm. But then the way he was just able to find another gear at the end and just really put it away and go after that record is just really impressive. And I think this just solidifies for me that like, yeah, he has that speed for the 1500, but shoot, he can extend that out to the 2-mile.
Yeah.
And I think afterwards too, in the post-race interview, it was funny. He was saying like, man, that was hard.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
He said that, yeah.
And it is interesting to put it into perspective. It's like he ran 2 back-to-back 4-minute miles, you know? Like that's when you kind of think about that, it's like, dang, that's pretty fast. So yeah. Definitely wasn't easy, but he gutted that one out. And I mean, shoot, he's the guy to beat right now after this. He's the guy to beat internationally.
I just remember the energy inside the armory. It just, as the race unfolded, it just kept getting louder and louder. Yeah. And I want to give a huge shout out to Grant Fisher, who like started taking the lead at towards the end of that race before Josh Kerr made his move. I believe the last, what was it, maybe 300 meters or so? It was toward the end, last 400 or so. But Grant Fisher also broke the American record with an 8:03, which was huge. We saw a lot of like national records fall over the weekend. Yes. Really, really huge. So I was just really impressed with how Grant just kind of took control, which we kind of already, I was kind of expecting that from him. But Josh Kerr just took it to a whole nother level and like pushed it even further and almost breaking 8 minutes. Like that is insane to think about, especially during where we are right now during the indoor season, just mid-February. We still have a long way to go until, you know, people go to their trials and then obviously the Olympics later. So huge, huge racing there for Josh Kerr and Grant Fisher too.
And I think it'll be interesting too. I believe I saw that this week he's going to be making a decision whether or not he's going to compete at World Indoors, I believe. So I think that could technically be maybe the next step for him. So I guess now it's just like, where do you go from here? Does he compete at World Indoors? Does he now completely shift his focus to training again and getting ready for outdoors with obviously the Olympics in sight? We'll have to see. But again, that was definitely one of the great performances we saw. Only one of the great performances we saw on the day at Millrose.
Question.
Yes.
Do you think Jakob was watching?
Yes.
I want to say yes. I feel like everybody was kind of tuned into Millrose. It was the big event.
Well, also, think about this little rivalry they have right here. I think that thing, it's heated. It's heated.
There is some trash talk, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
coming down the pike a little bit.
I like to say that I would like to think that he was watching. He's obviously skipping indoors this year because he's been dealing with an injury. But I've seen that he's been doing a lot of he's still kind of trash talking. He's been doing a lot of interviews I've seen with a lot of Norwegian media and just talking about like.
Why do you lead? It's because I want to feel like I've earned it.
Yes, yes, exactly. That's what I was thinking of. So it's he's a competitor. He's definitely watching.
He's definitely watching.
Yeah. He's preparing for that Olympic battle with Josh Kerr yet again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the crazy thing is, we started Millrose with a world record. Like, the meet popped off in the 60-meter hurdles with Devin Charlton running a 7:67. Looked completely – I can't even put into words. I just remember watching. I was like, wow, that was fast. And then when they announced it as a world record, I was like, oh, my gosh. It looked so effortless. And just after talking with Devin, like as they were kind of walking through the mix zone, like Devin was saying, I've been working so hard for this. It's been on my vision board. I knew it was coming. It was just a matter of time. And then boom, happened at Millrose. Devin wasn't really surprised. I think everybody around us, I think just because that's when the television broadcast was kicking off, that it was like, oh, well, that's how we're starting Millrose is with a world record. So what did you think about the 60-meter hurdle race
there? Yeah, kind of the same. Like, I wasn't expecting to see a world record, to be honest, in that race. But then, you know, I'm just looking through I was taking photos. I was, like, just looking through my lens, and I'm just tracking as she's running. And, you know, I take the pictures. I'm like, oh, she, like, won pretty sizably. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, the announcer in the armory is like, that's a world record. And I'm just like, what? Like, again, it was something where I wasn't necessarily expecting that to happen. But we do know Devin Charlton is a competitor. She runs for the Bahamas.
Yes.
As you mentioned, you know, listening to her talk afterwards, she herself said that, like, she wasn't necessarily surprised, but that she knew going into this race that, like, if she ran a hard effort, she thought she could accomplish anything, which is, you know, obviously great confidence for an athlete to have. So, yeah, she's on top right now. She's on top.
On top, and I love it. All right. Let's move on to our next favorite segment, our favorite moments from the weekend. I know we have this amazing video that Brian put together, which is the top 6 moments of the weekend. So we're going to let that roll. But as we just kind of watch this video play too, Ashley, are there some performances that stood out to you outside of the Millrose games.
Well, let's just look at this, these top six race videos, right, and kind of break down what happened. So here at number six, Jaden Mays of Oregon, world number four this year in the 200, 22.58. I know we had Bobby Reyes with Milesplit there on site, and I remember him texting me. He's like, dang, that was fast. Going to number five, Nia Akins in the 600, 124.32. That is a world lead and one of the fastest times ever recorded indoors, number eight. All time, she is the stud there, especially at the 800 distance. Number four, our guy, Brandon Miller. Also in the 600, 114.03 world lead. Number three all time indoor. This was at the Don Kirby Elite Invitational out in Albuquerque. At number three, number five collegiate all time. Come on. Anas Asai, 351.91 mile. He runs for South Carolina. He clocked this at BU this weekend at the David Emery Valentine Invitational. He did not win the race, but he got second. And he is just showing that he belongs in that conversation of the milers in the NCAA. Number two, Doris Lemgol of Alabama, 15.04.71 in the 5K. Number three, collegiate all-time. That doesn't matter. Indoors, outdoors, one of the fastest 5Ks we've ever seen in the NCAA. And then number one here, Mikayla Rose. What can we say? The 800 stud from LSU, 159.49. Number two, collegiate all-time indoor. Also at BU this weekend. What can we say? There is just a lot of all-time performances and records and all sorts of stuff happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, one of the biggest highlights for me was Femke Bol. Again, 49.63 for a world lead in that 400 meters. I think you and I were watching. Did we watch that together?
Yeah, we were sitting in the hotel at Millrose watching
that. Oh, that's right. Yeah. And we were watching. I was like, wow. Like, she looks so effortless and, like, just amazing. Yeah. But also, Arian Knighton. 20.21.
He popped off.
New world lead for the young talented sprinter. So those were some big races, of course, with the top six that we have here. But of course, we talk about Grant Holloway. Huge fans of him.
Yep.
He runs his 20th sub-7.4 in the 60-meter hurdles and still remains undefeated in this event.
He's been undefeated since high school, I think. That's ridiculous. That's the word. I mean,
like that's ridiculous.
That's probably like a decade's worth of being undefeated indoors.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I did see something about Arian Knighton's uniform that he wore.
I did too. Wait, go ahead.
Gold.
Yep.
Yes.
Is this the uniform that the world champion
wears? But he wasn't a world champion.
So what's behind the uniform?
That's what I want to know, because he's technically not a world champion.
Well, is this a prediction? Is this
not true?
Is this the script?
Oh, gosh.
Is this the
Don't
script?
Don't tell me about scripts. That's how I... We could get in a whole conversation, but maybe. Is this the year of Arian Knighton? Is this the year?
I don't know.
I think it's a good conversation to have. I mean, Noah's still on top.
Noah's still on top right now.
Noah's still on top.
But I feel like Arian Knighton, like, just every year, or, like, at least the past couple years, it's just, like, a little bit more every year.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's still so young and still has so much time ahead of him, too, I think that's also the scary thing. And the fact that he's been challenging Noah Lyles at such a young age is also very scary.
Yeah.
And again, for him to open up indoors with a 2021, like, that's legit. So I think there's more to come. So maybe it is a prediction. Maybe it is a script. Who knows?
Who knows? We'll have to wait a few more months. Are there any other performances that you would love to highlight?
Some other things to highlight, I think, from the NCAA. I believe out in Washington, Kai Robinson registered the second fastest 3K performance in collegiate history, 736.69. That's a legit effort there. We all know how much of a stud he's been. He was the 5K, 10K champion at NCAA Outdoors last year in Austin. And then Gudaf Sagai. We were watching this race, part of the World Indoor Tour. She ran the 3K, I believe, in 11. And she just missed the 3K world record by just a teeny tiny bit. And she was gritting her teeth trying to get that record. Just missed it. She's the 5K world record holder outdoors. But I don't think that's definitely going to be the last we see of her trying to go after records.
Absolutely not. Just missing it. But when you're that close, I feel like you just go for it again. Like, you just continuously set your eyes out for it. So, whew. Big things over this weekend,
yes.
And once again, we have another big weekend ahead of us. It's the USA Indoor Championships, which will take place in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Ashley and I will be on the ground there as well. So we kind of went through the different entries, and we're we've been observing some key storylines and also mm-hmm. some key performers that we think could do something special. And again, I love how we're about to have a whole conversation about some of these. So yes. Ashley, who are some athletes that you saw maybe that you're curious about, or maybe you're just excited to see as we move into the weekend?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how I want to break this
down.
Yeah,
how do you want to break it? That's why I'm like, I'll let you go first.
Maybe we should divide it up by event group. How about that? Let's divide it up by event group. How about let's start with distance, because that's the first thing I see on my sheet here.
Perfect. Let's do distance.
Interesting storylines here. Obviously, we saw some of these athletes compete at Millrose this past weekend. They're now going to go to USA Indoors and run. I'm going to start with Yared Nuguse here. Mm-hmm. I had a chance to chat with him before Millrose, before, you know, he competed in that mile. And he was, you know, he told me, he was like, yeah, the goal is to go to USA Indoors and then go on to hopefully qualify for World Indoor Championships. However, I don't know if people necessarily predicted that he'd be doing the 3K. So he is not running the 1500 meters this weekend, but he will be running the 3K. He's gone 7:28, I believe, in that event. So obviously, he's going to be kind of that front runner there, but it's interesting. So I think I was reading a little bit, some of the tactics behind that is, you know, he, for the 3K, it's run as a final. There's no prelims. So that's like less amount of racing and amount of races he has to do, less rounds. So maybe just trying to stay fresh during this indoor season, obviously with the sights on Paris. So that's going to be interesting. Any thoughts there?
Yes, I was just looking up the events schedule. So yeah, he'll be running Friday evening. Yeah, at 8 o'clock mm-hmm. at night for the, yeah. So I think that's a smart move. And of course, you know, the conversations I was having with a lot of the pros while we were at Millrose was like the stepping stones, just where you are right now, why is indoor so important for some of these athletes? And obviously most of them are training through it. So they're like, it's just building confidence for a lot of these athletes, but also it kind of showcases where they are right now, what they need to focus on. And so I applaud Yared Nuguse for kind of being smart about that move and just thinking, hey, it's a final one race. Let's do it. Build more strength. He already looks strong over the weekend too.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
So, you know, why not?
Exactly.
Which I think is great.
Moving on to some more distance stuff. Can we talk about Hobbs Kessler for a second? Kessler, I'm just very, you know, he ran 3:48 this past weekend at Millrose Games, and he's going to be in the 1500. I'm just curious how fast he can go. That's all I have to say.
I think it's going to be fast.
I mean, I guess the one thing to consider is that it is in Albuquerque, so it's going to be at elevation.
Right.
Probably going to see something more tactical, but I'm just really curious. Maybe it's just a matter of, like, can we see him ramp something up at the end if it is a tactical race? Again, I think he's one of those. He's entered the chat. He is here. Is this the year of Hobbs Kessler? Maybe. I don't know.
I
say yes because I want to be positive about that, and I'm really encouraged by how I've seen him race. So for me, he's definitely going to be that front runner there in the 1500 for the men.
Yeah. Speaking of 1500, you also have Addie Wiley, who will be doubling they in the 15. Interesting. But I think Addie has that strength right now. She looks very strong. And I just think she's going to do remarkable things in that double. How many rounds is it? Do you know? Let's see. Actually,
to be honest, I haven't fully looked.
I have it. Let's see. Okay, so there is the first round, which is Friday at 4:48.
Is that of the 15 or the 800?
That's the 800. And then the final obviously will be the next day at 2:58. Now, this is interesting. So there is, okay, I see the final of the 1500, which will be at 3:25. So she's literally going to run the 8, then it's the men's 8, the men's 4, and then it's the woman's 1500.
I will say this about Addie Wiley, though. Like, when she was running for Huntington University in the NAIA, I mean, she, like, I think quadrupled or something at indoor championships for NAIA. So, like, she's no stranger to, like, having to bounce back and really just put down some good efforts. So, and again, she's in her first, she recently turned pro as well, right, running for Adidas, I believe. And so I think I'm really curious to see how she does. I was really impressed with how she ran at USA Senior Championships last outdoor season, just missed out on making the world team. Mm-hmm. So I think she has a legit chance to make this team.
Goodness gracious. 20 minutes though. I see this as a workout.
Or she could end up scratching an event as well.
Yeah, very true.
Could be strategic.
Yeah. So maybe you you declare for both and then see, just make your decision. Which one you want to do.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're in this momentum of going down the event. So yeah. Who's next?
So what I want to shift to now. So mm-hmm. It looks like someone in the chat was asking about field events.
Yes.
Do
okay.
Talk about the field events right now. I know we wrote some notes down about some of the athletes we're excited to see.
Yeah. I'll let you take this one.
Okay. Sounds good. I know we saw Ryan Krauser. Yes. On the entry list in the men's shot put. Really excited to see what he could do there. If he's going to come and compete there. I'm also really curious about, so this is an interesting storyline. This is part of one of my hot predictions.
I don't think it's hot though.
Me and Corey were talking about this actually yesterday at the office. So in the women's high jump, obviously you have Vashti Cunningham, who's been at the top of, the U.S. women's high jump for quite some time. But you're also going to have a high schooler in this field, Jaceana Jarrow-Holt. And I believe she enters as like the third or fourth best seed in this event. And it's kind of a wide open event besides Vashti.
Yep.
And I really think that she can make this world team.
I think she can.
Corey, what are your thoughts?
It is her opener for 2024. So True. She's coming into it a little fresh. But there's only 9 women entered in the high jump.
Yeah.
And she's the third seed, tied with another woman. Obviously, I think it's possible. She cleared 6.1 at USA U20s last year. She is one of the strongest female athletes that we have in high school today. So, and we've seen it before. Vashti won a world indoor championship at 18. So, mm-hmm. There's a nice little synergy there with those two.
Yeah, I feel like it's Vashti, and then that it's kind of open, like you said, after that. Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised if Jaceana Jarrow-Holt makes this team.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that this is her season opener. So it kind of makes me a little weary, just like where mm-hmm. exactly is she at this very moment? But she has experience competing at the USA Track and Field Indoor Championships back in 2022. She was eighth. She cleared 5.10 and a quarter. Three quarters. That was her only indoor meet of the year. And then last year she finished fifth, where she cleared 6.5 and finished fifth. So if you just continue building off that, it's looking pretty solid for her.
She was a sophomore last year.
Yeah, she was a sophomore. So. Yeah.
She's very, very young.
Yeah. But still the fact that she's been able to compete against these athletes mm-hmm. and just kind of surrounding herself with all the talented individuals there, I feel like she puts herself in a really great bucket, I guess you can say.
For sure. So, yes, I will definitely be keeping my eye on that women's high jump there. Mm-hmm. Also, I think worth noting, too, that one other event, I think, just off the top of the mind, field events I'm looking forward to is that men's pole vault. I know we saw Casey Lightfoot, Chris Nielsen battle this weekend in Millrose. Is really just kind of a fun competition for them. They're ones that they were childhood friends. They grew up with each other. So they love competing against each other. And you add them and Sam Kendricks into the mix. U.S. pole vault is obviously on another level right now. So I think that'll be one to watch out for as well.
Yeah. All right. I'm ready for some speed.
We talking about the sprints?
Can we talk about the sprints?
Like, go ahead.
Let's talk about the biggest storyline, I think, from the sprint side.
Okay.
We have Noah Lyles and Christian Coleman both declared they're competing in the 60. Let's just say it all goes through smoothly, and we're in the final. What is your prediction with this?
My prediction? Well, okay, so maybe we need to start off by giving some context to their seasons. Noah Lyles has already gone, 6.44, I believe, New Balance Grand Prix. Christian Coleman just ran 6.51 in his season opener at Millrose Games. He had a little bit of a challenge there, but he comes away with the win. I feel like every week we have some sort of conversation about Noah Lyles, and I just don't know how to feel because, again, they're both very different racers. Noah Lyles, even if when you watch that 6.44 that he ran, he still didn't get out well. He still did not get out well.
Yeah.
It's just, but his top end speed, like you can't match that. So I guess the question is, will he get out better? B, we know Christian Coleman is a great starter. Can his start hold off Noah Lyles? Or like, how's that going to work out? Personally, I guess I'll probably go with Noah just because the way I saw him come back in that 60 was pretty impressive at New Balance.
Yeah.
But I also would definitely not be surprised if Christian Coleman gets this. I mean, he is the world record holder in this event.
Right. I feel like my brain goes in two different directions, kind of how you're feeling. I feel like right now confidence level, I think Noah's a little bit higher up on the scale than Christian Coleman is. Yeah. No fault to Christian Coleman, but the energy that Noah is bringing out onto the track right now and just coming off of the season that he had last year, I'm not surprised that he's like up here right now. He's enjoying the moment. He's running fast. Again, we talk about this, I feel like, every week. The start needs to clear up because Christian Coleman is not going to have a bad start. It's ingraining Christian Coleman's body. Like, react, get out aggressively, hold on. My guess, I feel like it's going to be a toss-up. If Christian Coleman can get out aggressively like he normally does, I feel like he will win indoor, like the indoor title. If Noah Lyles has a better start, then we're going to have a race because I feel like Noah Lyles has that top end speed right now that Christian Coleman has not showed me yet. He might have it. We just haven't tapped into it yet. True. So those are my thoughts. I feel like Corey back here.
No, I'm just – the world record he set was 2018.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
6 years ago.
Yep.
Who's the best sprinter in the world right now?
Noah Lyles.
Exactly.
When do you win the 60-meter race at the line?
Yeah.
So I get that you're talking about like the start here, but we've seen so many times that you can overcome that.
Yeah. Very true.
I don't know if you ever get a better start than Christian Coleman.
True.
But you've beaten him before.
Yeah.
At the line. And it's about those crucial like 40 to 60, right? Yeah. The last 20 meters is when you're building the most power. So I don't doubt that Noah's in better form right now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, it's just a matter of who you're pulling for. Who's your guy?
Yeah, that's such
the guy.
Who's the guy? I'll say Noah. You say?
I'm going with Christian Coleman here.
Coleman. Corey says Noah.
Noah.
Well, we'll see what happens next
week. I didn't say Noah.
Oh, okay.
You were alluding to Noah.
Come on.
I didn't say Noah.
So
oh man, that's a 50-50 for me.
That's the problem.
That's a coin toss.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a coin toss. Yes.
Noah, Christian, coin toss.
I'll go. Yeah, yeah.
Corey won't commit.
All right, sticking on the 60, I feel like we could see an LSU Tiger sweep here on the women's side.
Yes.
1-2 finish. Aaliyah Hobbs, Micaiah Briscoe. For me, those are the two heavy favorites going in. Hobbs has already gone 7:05 just a few weeks ago in Fayetteville. Briscoe went 7:10 at the track also just a few weeks ago. I feel like they're training together, looking strong.
Yeah.
1-2.
I mean, Hobbs
one,
has always
punch.
Been so good in that women's 60 that, like, she definitely, for me, is the favorite here. And then, like you said, Micaiah Briscoe looked really strong as well. So I can't argue with that. I would totally agree with you.
Wow.
With your prediction right there.
Yeah. That's my thought. It's just they look really strong right now. There's no doubt about it.
Agreed.
All right. Any other events, storylines that you would like to discuss?
Maybe we can just – well, maybe I'll throw out some nuggets on here.
Okay, yeah. Yes. Nuggets. Go ahead.
Middle distance, I will say – Brandon Miller in that 800, I think, is going to be really interesting. Obviously, we played our top moments from the weekend a few minutes ago, and he clocked the world lead 114 in the 600 at the Don Kirby Elite Invitational. So to me, I'm like, hey, Brandon Miller's in form. Brandon is back. Like, he, I think, is more motivated than ever. He's now training with Brooks Beast, so he's had a change. But it seems like that change is working out really well for him, and I'm really excited to see what he can do in this 800.
Yeah, I think that's going to be great. I think on my end, the men's 400, I feel like it's very stacked. And it's going to be a race to the finish. You have Matthew Bowling, who's already gone 45, 47 this year. You have Bryce Dedman, Trevor Bassett's in this mix, Ryan Wiley, Elijah Godwin, Will London. Gosh, there's so many names in this 400 who have declared that I'm like, okay, Matthew Bowling, I could see making this team. All the other names, though, I'm like, wow, it's stacked. So I feel like it's going to be a race.
It's interesting because I feel like there's no – and it's been like this. I feel like it was like this last year as well. There's no clear favorite, I think, in the men's 400. Like, there's just a lot of guys in the mix that, like, on any given day, they could have the best race and, you know, grab a qualifying spot for World Indoors, for instance, that I think it's going to be really curious to see what Matthew Bowling's going to do. Bryce Dedman as well. Trevor Bassett, who is, you know, he's the 400 meter hurdler.
Yeah.
Elijah Godwin, I believe he's in his first season as a pro as well.
Exactly. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So many great things.
I know.
So many great things.
So much to talk about USAs that I know we're all looking forward to.
Can we just talk about your hot prediction real quick? The last one that you have.
My last prediction.
Well, technically the first one on the dock, but it's the last one we're going to discuss.
Oh.
I feel like we need to talk about this.
Yeah.
I want to know what the chat thinks about your hot prediction.
This one right here, the one that I'm highlighting?
Yes, that one.
Okay. We'll end our indoor discussion with my hot take and maybe have some discussion. Obviously, we mentioned earlier that Grant Holloway, he's going to be here in the men's 60-meter hurdles. Again, he's undefeated since high school in this event. I would not be surprised if you're in Albuquerque at altitude, he breaks his own world record. He's already come close to that already this past weekend in Paris. So I would not be surprised if he breaks it. That's my hot prediction. World record. Again, hey, we're going to be there. I'm going to be there. Anywhere I go, it seems there's at least a world record. So I'm gonna say it.
Okay, I need the chat to let us know what they think about Ashley's hot prediction. I get it. I get where your brain is coming from. I don't know if we're going to see a world record in New Mexico.
Grant Holloway does not come to play in indoors.
I totally agree with that. I can see it happening later. Like
when? Later?
At indoor championships. That's where, personally, I would want to do it. I wouldn't want to do it.
I think it's going to happen.
At trials.
Why not?
He's been so close. So I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. But at the same time, I'm like, okay.
He literally almost broke it this past weekend.
I know he did.
It's just like literally you don't even have to make any tweaks. Just like run basically the same race and you're just a little bit faster. So I don't know. Corey, thoughts?
I think he's the overwhelming favorite. He's going to win. I don't know about 7.29 breaking world record. My larger question actually stays here at the 60 meter hurdles is who's getting the second spot?
True.
Daniel Roberts, Trey Cunningham, Cordell Tinch, all in the mix here. Only two go.
Yeah.
Which of those men besides Grant are going to be, you know, earning that bid to World Indoors? I think you have to, I mean, all three are capable. You probably have, you know, a lot of questions about what it's going to take.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
And I'm trying to pull up. I know we saw Cordell Tinch.
Milrose.
Yeah, Milrose. Yep.
Dylan Beard set a facility record, personal best, 744. Daniel Roberts was second, 751. Trey Cunningham was third, 752. Cordell Tinch, fourth, 752.
I think it's probably going to be either Dana Roberts or Trey Cunningham, if I have to say. Obviously, based on those results, Dana Roberts had the better showing at Milrose, so he may be a little bit more fresh. But I will say, like, I think it was a few weeks ago, Trey Cunningham ran a pretty solid race in Gainesville, I believe. I can't remember the time off my head. But, I mean, he just kind of shot out like a rocket. So if he can have a race like that where he looks good in form, it could be him as well, I believe.
Leaning more towards Daniel Roberts. That's who you said, right? You were thinking Daniel Roberts for that second spot? Or who would you say?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I think after just seeing Daniel Roberts this past weekend, he looks solid, and I feel like he has a slight edge to him. I don't even know what it is. Like, I'm like, it's Daniel Roberts. So my guess is going to be Daniel for that second spot. Corey, who do you predict?
Cordell.
Oh, okay.
I feel like he has to clean up things, though.
Yeah,
I feel like he has to clean up his race.
Not to take Corey's job, but someone in the chat was like, yeah, Cordell needs to clean up his technique, but he's so talented, which is true.
Yeah, it's very true. He's very, very talented. Mm-hmm. That is factual.
And obviously he has such a great story, too, as well, you know, where he's come from and his journey. Obviously, we'll be rooting for him, but yeah, we'll have to see what happens.
It's hard because it's only two.
I know.
It's hard.
Yes, very hard.
So.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Well,
one comment from indoors that this is just a general comment that came. Hobbs will make the team in Paris for outdoor. You were talking about Hobbs earlier. Camp Eagle says Hobbs will make the team.
That'll be interesting. As we've seen, the women's 100, 200 been very competitive over the, you know, last year and past couple years. Obviously, we know some other figures that will be in that aren't competing indoors.
Yeah.
So I like that. That's a good hot take. Too.
All right. Today's a very special day. It's Valentine's Day as well, hence the festivities of my outfit.
Yes.
So we're going to end our show with what we love about track and field, and then we'll sign off.
Okay.
So what do you love about track, Ashley?
So you're putting me on the spot. I wrote no notes on this, even though I was the one that like had track? The idea. What do I love about track? Okay, this is what I'll say. What I love about track, my love letter to track. It's such an accessible sport, honestly, for a lot of people. So I think you just get, like, it's such a diverse sport, you know, which I think is really, really enjoyable. There are a lot of other sports out there that I feel like aren't they just don't function that way. You know, it's kind of limited to, you know, who they're bringing in. But I feel like track, it's like, hey, if you want to go run, get a, you know, grab a pair of running shoes, you can go run. You don't have, you could be 6 years old trying to run, or you could be 9 years old, as we've seen some of those, you know, masters competitors compete. You can be at the top of your game trying to compete for the Olympics, or you can just be, you know, running in, you know, some run club or something wherever you live. You know, I think that's what I enjoy most about track and just running in general. Anyone can get, like I said, anyone can get a pair of running shoes and just go out for a run. So yeah. I like that.
I like that. I think my favorite thing about track, or just our sport of athletics as a whole, is just how freeing it is. And I feel like there's something for everyone, and you can challenge yourself in different ways. So like, for example, from my previous experience of just being a sprinter and then last year running my first half marathon, it's just the ability to challenge yourself in a different way, just mentally, physically, and emotionally, is what I appreciate about the sport.
That's a good
like
one.
Anybody can just put on some running shoes and just go run. There's no equipment needed. Unless you're in field. But as like for a runner, you just put on some running shoes and just go. Listen to a podcast, jam to some tunes, and be free. Let your thoughts go. Corey, what do you love about track?
Well, I'll say one comment on this. All in the Game says anyone with talent from the smallest of countries can make it to the top, which is very true. For me, I'll make a movie comparison. I know you guys aren't great movie people. But to me, track and field's like being inside the Matrix. You take the blue pill, you go inside the Matrix, and you live this world that most people don't understand. But if you are inside of it, you are completely aware of what it all means, and it becomes this world of its own. And I think there's a unique nature to this sport that once you get, you know, a part of it, you live it, you breathe it, it becomes a part of you. So, inside the Matrix.
I like that comparison.
I love that. Well,
I've seen the Matrix live. Have you seen the Matrix?
I don't think I have.
Of course,
I need to watch it.
Gosh, yeah, I like that. That's a good comparison.
Yeah. All right. Real quick, Spitfire. Favorite track event.
Favorite track event. Gosh, I'll say the mile. Very cutthroat.
Corey.
800.
Ooh,
that's a good choice.
200 here. Do y'all have any favorite track memories?
Track memories.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Just pick one.
You go first. You have a lot of memories.
Okay, I think my favorite memory from my career was making the World Youth Team, where we were in Singapore for a month, and it was awesome.
That sounds sick.
We literally trained, ate. We left the village one time, but it was so much fun. I can't even remember where we were, but it was awesome. Favorite track memory right there.
Great.
Corey.
Covering Matthew Bowling in 2019 was a vibe.
Yeah. Well, we all knew that was the year when he popped off, blew up, national sensation.
So from Texas State to Pan American U20s, I saw him really just go to all these different venues and never was limited by expectation or you know, perceived judgment of what he could or couldn't do. He always lived up to the moment, which was an amazing thing to see and cover at the time.
Love it. Ashley, you have the final.
I mean,
the floor.
Track that I've participated in, maybe in my junior year of high school, running the mile, the eight, and then getting that state runner up in the 4x4 because I was thrown in on it in North Carolina. That was a great memory. And on a hot day in Greensboro, North Carolina at NCANT. But probably my favorite event to cover, gosh. Honestly, I really enjoyed the Prefontaine Classic, like getting to be out there and see a couple world records. When I tell you that Jakob Yared battle in that 1500 was unlike anything I've ever seen, like that was really remarkable to see as well. You know, just very fortunate to see stuff like that and get to cover those events.
I feel like I'm right there with you. Prefontaine was an exciting meet for sure. Milrose, and that was last week, was my very first Milrose in person. I've never ran at Milrose, never been to Milrose. I've been to the Armory to compete, but I haven't watched the Milrose game. So I think that also is at the top of my list too.
So many things to love about
track. So many things to love about track on this lovely Valentine's Day. Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining Corey, Ashley, and myself for the Flow Track podcast. Please like, subscribe, share this with your friends, your family, and we will be here right back here next week for another episode. So have a great week.